Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi folks, it's Tino here and welcome to our brand new series called CSE Stories right here on the Celtic Exchange. The series was inspired by the new book Football Without Fans, written and compiled by David McIntyre of CelticBars.com. And it's a book which is without doubt the definitive up-to-date history of Celtic supporters clubs across the globe. Throughout this new series, we'll be joined by many of the key individuals throughout those supporters clubs. And on that note, I'm delighted to be joined here today by Paul McCann and Mike Boyd of the Chicago Celtic Supporters Club. Mike, I'll come to you first. How are things over there in the Windy City?
It's good. I mean, it's a surprisingly warm February day in Chicago. No snow. We're all happy. I'm sure that will change. We'll get more snow probably until May. But it's good. Everything's good right now.
Good stuff. And thanks again for joining us. Paul, what about yourself? We had a wee chat before coming on there. And you're Glasgow born and bred?
Yep, born in Glasgow, grew up in Maryhill, moved to Chicago about 5 years ago after meeting my wife, who's from here. So I came here and joined up with Mike, Chicago CSE, and I've been having a great time.
Great stuff. Do you get back to Glasgow and Scotland much, or is it harder to make the journey these days?
It's been a couple of years since I last got back, but I'm going back in May, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited.
May is hopefully a nice time to be arriving back at Celtic Park. Hopefully there's another league title to look forward to. So generally speaking, just to get us going, Mike, I believe you're a co-founder of the Chicago CSE. So can you give us a wee bit of background in terms of, you know, when the club was formed, generally, you know, how many members you've got roughly, and how the club came to be?
Well, the club formed in 1995, and a lot of the CSEs in North America formed around the same time, because that was when we were able to start getting the live matches on a regular basis. So the umbrella group for North America, you know, the North American Federation of Celtic Supporters Clubs, started out as a way to allow us to negotiate to get, you know, to get the matches on a regular basis. You know, there had been Celtic supporters clubs, you know, interested members of Celtic supporters in the Chicago area. You know, they would get together to listen to shortwave broadcasts of important matches, you know, like the night in Lisbon. But there was nothing organized and structured. And in the early 1990s, we started seeing occasional matches live. You know, we would get the matches against the other mob and occasional cup finals. But, you know, in the 1990s, you know, satellite time became more available and cheaper, and marketing, you know, both in all parts of Europe started realizing it was an untapped market to show matches to people that are interested in Celtic. You know, I think they originally thought they would be mostly expatriates, but eventually the structure started. We formed the club. You know, we started up with about 20 people. We would watch, we would get one match every 2 weeks. We were ecstatic at that. That was the 1995-96 season, you know, when we only lost one match in the league, you know, lost Scottish Cup semifinal to them, lost in League Cup to them. You know, frustrating season for the club, but it was a good first season for the Chicago CSC. And then that summer was the first convention in Las Vegas, and the Celtic Party flew through Chicago on their way to Las Vegas for the first convention. So we had, you know, we hosted them. We had a dinner with Bobby Murdoch, Bertie Auld, Bobby Lennox, you know, Jim Craig, you know, a good group of Celtic support, you know, of Celtic ex-players, and then other supporters on their way to Las Vegas. And then that just sort of, you know, those first days just established something that we were able to build on, both in Chicago and through North America. And, you know, here we are today, 30 years on, clubs are still thriving, and there are places for people to watch the Celtic all over the world. And it's been nice to been a part of that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that, I mean, hugely important figures in Celtic's history. You know, several Lisbon lines you've touched on between Bobby Murdoch, Bertie Auld, Jim Craig. That happening, you know, in that summer of, what, 96 then, was that a kind of a galvanising factor? You know, the fact that genuine Celtic legends could come and make an appearance in your club before kicking on at the convention. Was that something that almost gave you further inspiration that you were doing the right thing and heading in the right direction?
It was a nice reward for that hard effort that first year. You know, we always wondered if we were, if it was working. You know, we had, you know, there were always some technical challenges, you know, or challenges with the initial pub we were in. You know, sometimes, you know, we'd miss the first minute of the match. We'd miss goals. The audio would be sporadic. You know, we went through one match. It was a match against Motherwell in the early days where Celtic scored in the first minute, gave up an equalizer in the last 5 minutes. We thought we'd lost the match because we'd missed the first goal. Early days of satellite technology, you got a little, you know, we missed a large portion of the Scottish Cup semifinal that year because of satellite difficulties. You always wondered if you were, you know, if it wasn't, it never thought it wasn't worth it, but there were times you questioned your resolve. And getting that kind of response and getting people that were following up, you know, it was reassuring in the early days.
Yeah. I kind of wish we had the technical difficulties of our own during the 90s, Mike, because there's a lot of things that I'd rather have missed altogether. Yeah. But that's maybe a separate story. Paul, I'll come to you. You know, obviously, we've mentioned there, you know, you're newer in Chicago. I think you mentioned to me before we started, 5 years you've been out there now. But what's your own Celtic background story? I suppose it'll be very different between yourself and Mike in terms of, you know, how you first came to be a Celtic supporter. So what's your own kind of intro to Celtic, if you like?
Yeah, I mean, like most Celtic fans, there was no choice in the matter. I was born and had a Celtic top on. I got taken to my first game. It was Phil O'Donnell's debut at Firhill back in 94. That was my first game, fell in love. The game went as much as I could as a kid. I think Larson's last season was the one season I had like a long term season ticket so I could go to every game. Mm-hmm. So I just fell in love with football then. And then after moving to Chicago 5 years ago, like most Celtic fans around that time, I was just obsessed with the team because we'd just won the double treble by that point. And I'd visited Chicago a few times. And then the first time I came, like most Celtic fans, first thing I Googled was local Celtic supporters club. And the first thing that popped up was AJ Hudson's, where we drink with Mike Boyd and the boys. And I popped in, there was no game on. So I just popped in just to see what they had in the walls and stuff. And I liked the place. So I think I went back now and again on visits and stuff, but I never caught a game there. And then when I finally moved here in November 2018, first thing I done was like, when's the next game? And it was Rosenborg away. I think it was one of those rotten Scott Sinclair winners. It was kind of, it was a grim game, but it was kind of nice being around people. And it was just seeing how quickly that became important to me. It became important to me to make sure it was there for everyone. So I kept going along, got to know the guys and stuff, went along to Vegas a couple of years ago to the conference. And then a couple of years ago now, myself and a boy called Alan Wade, we just messaged Mike saying he's not got much of a social media presence and we'd love to get on that. So we got access to the social media and we've spent last year growing it, planning events and doing everything we can to get more people through the doors.
Brilliant. And is it that kind of thing where it's, you know, word of mouth as much as anything? I believe there's a huge Irish community in Chicago in itself, but is it a case, Paul, where yourself and other maybe either, you know, Glasgow-based folk or Scottish folk, you know, just reach out to each other and start to build the group through that?
Yeah, definitely. There's even been fans of other Scottish teams that have followed me on Twitter and DM me saying, I hear you're the guy to speak to about getting games on. I felt like a couple of Camarnock fans, some Hart fans, some of the, that lot as well, begrudgingly. Yeah, a lot of it is word of mouth because there is a huge football or soccer culture over here, but we're always fighting against the Premier League, and we're always going to be. And people, especially the past year or so with all the political stuff going on, people are aware of Celtic and like Celtic, but convincing them to wake up at 6 a.m. to come watch them is a whole other story. So it's just about making that something that's more worthwhile and fun to do. So that's why we've been pushing the word of mouth. We're going to get stickers and just plant them around the city. So there's no way you can't know about us.
Yeah. And I'm sure you guys are delighted when you see some evening kickoffs coming back in around about this time of year. It gives you at least an extra few hours in your bed.
Yeah.
Mike, from your own point of view, as I say, you know, can absolutely understand Paul's story has been, you know, a very kind of well-trodden path, you know, born in this part of the world here in Glasgow and almost not having a choice in terms of becoming a Celtic fan. But what about yourself? What's your own story?
My story is kind of the opposite of Paul's. You know, I made a decision to become a Celtic supporters fan or supporter. You know, I had been, I would say I had been a Celtic sympathizer. I had been, you know, going to Europe on my holiday to watch football through the years. I went to my first Celtic match was a Celtic Rangers match in March of 1993. And I went from being a sympathizer to a supporter, you know, and then, you know, around that point was the time that we were starting to get doing the groundwork to start the supporters club. And it came out of that, you know, in those days, you know, I would go back and forth, you know, once a year or so, try to see as many matches as I could during that short time period, you know, always go around this time of year, you know, fixture congestion, you know, would always work in my favor. You know, if I might intend to see two matches in a 2 week period, I might get to see three, sometimes four. So that would always work out through the years. But, you know, from my name, my family is Scottish, but we've been in America a lot longer than before Celtic started. So I made, you know, growing up playing football, my coach was a Barcelona socio. So he taught me it was very important to choose what team I supported. And I think I made the right choice.
Yeah, I think you definitely did. Paul had mentioned the where you drink. So AJ Hudson's, I believe, is the venue for the Chicago CSC. And I think you've had various places you've congregated over the years. I believe you've had some fairly well-known individuals come and visit you at different times. I think Paolo Nutini's quoted as being there. Rod Stewart and Dermot Desmond, would that be right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky because, you know, Chicago is an important transit hub. We get a lot of people coming through on their ways to other places. Dermot Desmond was in Chicago when the Arlington Million was being run. So he and his son were in, you know, in a pub, you know, watching the match at you know, early morning like everybody else. He was a good tipper. The staff liked him, you know, which is always an important consideration. Rod Stewart has been around a couple of times. Whenever he tours in the Midwest, he bases himself in Chicago. So he'll try to see a match depending on where he's playing. You know, he has been there for matches, left, flown out, done his concert, flown back to Chicago, come back to the next match, flown to Kansas City, played that night, mentioned that he was watching the match 4 hours ago in Chicago. So he's a good, he does our publicity for us in one sense. So that works out fairly well. Paolo Nutini, lovely guy, has been there. You know, usually every Celtic supporter that comes by has always been, brilliant, appreciative of the effort we put on and enjoys it. And the members that happen to be there, when they show up, they always enjoy meeting them.
Yeah, I'm sure it sounds a very welcoming place. Paul, Mike had mentioned some of the technical challenges, in those early days, mid-90s and beyond. Satellite TV wasn't what it was, and generally coverage of, I suppose, football globally, but certainly, here in Scotland, wasn't what it's now become. How easy or straightforward is it for you guys to access now? Is that a Celtic TV type account, or how do you access the games?
It's actually probably easier than watching a game back home. I found that actually, because with Celtic TV, we know we've got every game, basically. I mean, we can debate the quality of the service for days that the game's on. And then any televised game back home, so if it's on Sky or whatever it's on these days, it will be on CBS over here right now.
Okay.
So typically the away 6 a.m. kickoffs will be on, see, we're on Paramount Plus streaming service or CBS Sports Network. So it is pretty simple to watch the games. I mean, internet issues come up all the time, or websites go down. I think we had a time recently where it went down and one of the members had to pop up and say, try my account, and that worked. There are always issues. And yesterday it kept freezing. Right as soon as it hit stoppage time, the stream would freeze and we'd have to refresh it. But that's rare. That's probably the second time in 5 years I've seen an issue pop up.
Right.
And it's been good for the sport over here, because it's kind of similar to American sports and back in Scotland and the UK as a whole right now. It's just the streaming services, you put every sport on. So if you want to watch it, it's there. So it's like, even if, I mean, I'll do it, I've just skimmed through the TV and go, oh, the Argentinian league's on, I'll give that a watch. So I'm about trying to convince people, hey, Celtic's on. Even if you're looking for a game, stick the game on.
Yeah.
Because it's there. You're paying for it anyway, so make sure watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just to stay with it, Paul, there's a whole wealth of, I mean, America's sport mad in general, isn't it? And, just kind of refresh myself, you've got the Chicago Bulls, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, Chicago Bears. Have you found yourself embracing that as much as, Mike and others have embraced what Celtic do?
Yeah, I'm a big sports fan myself. Got a Cubs hat on now. I get to as many Cubs games a season as I can. Like, AJ Hudson's is just around the corner from Wrigley Field. So there's been times you've had people visiting from out of town and we've sorted them out with tickets and took them to the game and shown them all the right bars to go to. Because Chicago is a sports town. And especially, for me, football is always going to be top. So I've become a huge Chicago Fire fan in the MLS. I've got involved with their supporters groups, and I've got involved with front office, and we've actually started working with them as a supporters club. They've been giving us donations for raffles to have at the bar, sorting out events. We've got ticket guys on standby if we need group tickets set up. So it's been really fun, because Chicago loves sports and we love it more than them. So let's join together and just have a good time, have a baby.
Yeah, sounds good. Mike, from your own point of view, is soccer number one? I'm falling into the terminology, but is soccer, football number one for you, or have you got love elsewhere?
Well, I'm a Cubs fan. I've been to Cubs games with Paul. A long-suffering Cubs fan. So being a Celtic supporter is a very different experience than being a Cubs fan. I like hockey. That's why I would go see the Blackhawks. Hockey's the closest thing to football in America in terms of the action and being engaged and the crowd interaction. But I always tell people all the space that as an American should be full of American football is full of soccer for me. Football's somebody described football as all the things that are bad with America. Mindless committee meetings followed by random violence. And so I've never been, never, never been an American football fan.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you've made the right choice there. Stick with that. And just to get back to the club itself, so, you know, obviously we've touched on the timeline there, so approaching 30 years, you know, more or less, and I don't know if you guys have got any plans there in terms of marking that occasion, but out with that, I'll stick with you for now, Mike. Any particular, you know, memories, you know, during that time? Have you maybe been on any trips together? Any, you know, particularly emotional cup finals or anything at all like that?
Well, you know, certainly the, you know, stopping the 10, you know, 1998, you know, we had, you know, again, that was sort of in the early days of the internet, and people were getting in contact, you know, wanting to know, you know, I'm going to be in Chicago on business, or I'm in Chicago for an academic concert, you know, conference. Is there some place that we can get together with, you know, Celtic supporters? And I'm like, yeah, you know, at 9 a.m., you can come and see the match with us. You know, and we'd plan, you know, win, lose, or draw. We'd planned, you know, a day of, you know, singers and catered food. And, you know, we were planning on celebrating the end of a great season. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily it was the end of a real great season. It may not have been, you know, if things had gone south. You know, that was obviously, you know, very important to us. In 2007, as part of Celtic's preseason activities, they came to North America. They played a match in Denver as part of the preseason. They played against the Major League Soccer All-Stars. And then they came and played a match in Chicago, which was very important for us because we got to, you know, host a large number of people that were coming to Chicago for, you know, maybe the only reason they were coming to Chicago was to see Celtic. And, you know, we got to show them more of Chicago than just going to see the match and being at the pub before the game. So that was very good for us. It was also very important to us because one of our members had, who was a paramedic, had been killed in an auto accident right before that at Christmas time. And he was a big Celtic supporter. He was also a big Fire supporter. So it was a very nice chance for his family to come see, you know, to meet his other families and have that. You know, we had commemorative scarves made. We still have some of them, you know, almost 20 years later, people still, you know, think back about that, you know, and it's always good to do those sort of things. You know, one of the things that you realize in running a supporters club for as long as you do is that, you know, members pass on. You know, we have members that, you know, obviously 30 years ago, you know, of our founding 20 members, you know, I was just doing the math, you know, six of them have passed on in those years. A couple more are in, you know, challenging health situations. We don't see them as often as we do. But on the other hand, you know, just yesterday, one of their sons came into the pub right at the end of the match, and was very happy to see the people. And he talked, you know, it was nice to reminisce about how his, you know, his father had moved to America in the 1950s and was one of those people that lived on people sending them newspapers of the matches and listening to the odd shortwave radio. And he talked about how his father, you know, who was in his 70s when the club started, how much he enjoyed having the supporters club again in his life, just like it had been when he was in his teens and 20s, you know, in before he left Glasgow. So that's always important. You know, that just makes it easier to keep going on when there are those 6 a.m. kickoffs and there are people there. You know, nobody really wants to be there, you know, but they turn up. Sometimes people turn up out of duty, but, you know, it's always good to get that kind of feedback from people and do that. I, you know, as Paul mentioned, it's much easier to watch the match, you know, from your house on Celtic TV at 6 a.m. than it is to get up and you know, deal with the weather and get down to the pub.
Yeah, I've no doubt about that. But it's important there, Mike, you know, on a, you know, more serious note, it is important to remember that, you know, Celtic does, it transcends football. And I know it's become almost a bit cliche, but, you know, Celtic is more than just a football team. You know, there's so much more to it. And it's important that you remember, you know, those friends that are no longer here and, you know, your friend, the paramedic, and that his memory lives on. And it sounds like that's an important part of what you guys do at the club. Yes, it's about watching games of football and hoping that Celtic win, and more often than not at the moment we do win, but there's life beyond Celtic, and it's great to hear that you guys have approached that in what seems to be the right manner. Paul, to come back to yourself, I suppose I'll ask you the question twofold. What are your kind of favourite memories supporting Celtic in your relatively short time in Chicago, and also your kind of bigger memories from your own time when you were in Glasgow?
Yeah. So I'll stay short term for now. It's probably the last Rangers game. We obviously, the result helps, beating them 2-0. But after us taking over the social media and stuff like that about a year or so ago, we'd seen the turnouts getting bigger, which had been nice, because the main example I used was the Real Madrid home game in the Champions League last season. We had about 8 of us round one table because it was a Tuesday afternoon. But then the Champions League opener this season, we filled the whole room. Yeah. So it was kind of like they were looking at the same time, same kind of level of game here, and we've got more people out. So that was, that felt good. But then we kind of pushed on from that and organised a raffle. And that's when we got a Liam Scales match worn jersey, Chicago Fire signed jersey, got tickets to Chicago Fire games, whiskey bottles and stuff like that. And then seeing the whole room packed and everyone like enjoying the raffle, getting involved, and we raised over $1,000 for the Celtic Foundation for that. And just seeing all the hard work come into something good, and to take it back to what Mike was saying about our friend, the paramedic, his name is Dan Parry. He was also a very vocal activist in the Chicago area. And you still see a lot of people at Chicago Fire games with the Celtic and Chicago Fire half and half scarves and stuff like that in his honour. And it's kind of important to me to carry on that legacy, and because that's the way a lot of people in Chicago look at Celtic, is through his charity work. And that was how they found out about it. So it's important to keep that going and keep building on it and keep working with the local fan groups and that.
Yeah, and it's great to hear, you know, that Dan's name lives on in such a positive manner. I'll stay with you, Paul, on a question which you've started to lean in towards. It's about your aspirations, or the aspirations of the club, in terms of what does the future hold? So, you know, as I say, we're approaching 30 years of the Chicago CSC, but what's your kind of, without being too fluffy, your hopes and dreams for the future of the club?
Yeah, so we spoke briefly about the 30th anniversary a few times. I think it will kind of collide with the next Vegas conference as well, so maybe we can try and do a bit of me up there. But we spoke about merch and things like that. But I think sticking short term is just about growing the attendance every week. We've got some more events planned. We're going to get some more raffles sorted. We're trying to get a lot more people to Chicago Fire games, especially now that we've got Celtic preseason legend Andy Gutman at left back. So we've got a few people hounding me about how to get season tickets and stuff for those games. So it's about just trying to grow in the football community in Chicago, because we've got the World Cup coming to America in 2026. Chicago doesn't have a game, but it's still going to get the boost from the country hosting the World Cup. So it's about setting good foundations before that happens. So then when people do perk up saying, we want to watch a game, we've got it all set up for them.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got, you know, plenty of things in the pipeline there and a few ideas bouncing around. Mike, from your side of things, you've mentioned you're one of around about 20 founding members, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of, you know, different people come and go and attendances fluctuate. What's your own hopes for the years ahead for the club?
You know, obviously, for the club, you know, club to continue and thrive, you know, it's certainly, you know, membership, you know, at different points in times has been as high as 120. You know, now our membership is around, you know, 30 pretty dedicated supporters. And then a number, you know, obviously, you know, we get more people for cup finals and matches against them, you know. You know, the idea is to, you know, leave a legacy for Celtic in Chicago, you know, continuing supporters club, continue, you know, one of the things that, you know, Paul and Alan Wade have been very good about is connecting ties to to younger people in Chicago, both Celtic supporters and in the larger soccer community, and getting them involved and engaged. So we'd like to continue to do that. We'd like to work on, you know, ties, be more visible in the soccer community, you know, from an actual playing standpoint. A lot of our memories are, you know, we have memories of playing, but we're not active anymore. But we'd like to continue to do something, whether it's in, you know, there are the Fire is working to interact with the supporters communities in Chicago. So we, you know, look forward to putting out Celtic Supporters Club teams in those competitions. We can certainly get people to come out and support them on the sideline. You know, a lot of us would be very good about having a bevy on the sideline and providing constructive criticism to referees for during these matches. But so we looked at, you know, we're just looking to keep the community, you know, the community of Celtic supporters growing in Chicago, whether they feel part of the Celtic Supporters Club or just attached to the club as sympathizers. We're looking to continue to grow that.
Yeah. And how important is charity to you guys, Mike? So Paul's mentioned, you know, a few times different raffles you've done and raising good funds and channeling them back to the Celtic Foundation here, which is great. And they do some brilliant work here in Glasgow and much further afield, actually. How important in general is charity to you guys at the club?
One of the things that, you know, as you may be aware in Chicago, you know, Chicago is experiencing an influx of, you know, refugees from the border that are being, you know, shipped here by the state of Texas and rather unceremoniously dumped on the streets of Chicago, unprepared and unaware that they're actually coming to Chicago. And, you know, it fits the ethos of Celtic, which is a club built, you know, for the, you know, built on integrating immigrants into a society that perhaps overall was not welcoming to them, but being that link to in the past, you know, it's a good thing for the Chicago Sea to be involved in. And, you know, I think that we'll see the Chicago Sea being involved in that and continue to be involved in that one, you know, if this crisis eases, but we'll still be involved in supporting the things that are at the core of the club, you know, Celtic's experience.
Yeah, now that's great to hear. We're drawn into the kind of the end of the recording as such, but I've got a very short question, but I'm not sure it's a short answer. But I'll come to you first, Paul. And the question is simply, just what does being a supporter of Celtic Football Club mean to you?
In one word, everything. And I know that's a cop out. But really, there's not a minute goes by where isn't Celtic on my mind, and it's because there's so many aspects of my life that I can live through Celtic in a way that keeps me happy. I mean, even though it's hard at times. But like through the charity work, the ethos of the fans, the respect that you get for like wearing a Celtic top around the city, like people, like you don't see many Rangers tops. I mean, I know it's, don't like to compare, but I think I've seen like two or three Rangers tops in my time in Chicago, and I see Celtic tops all the time. So it gives you a sense of pride for your people and where you come from. And yeah, just pride, if anything.
Yeah. And yourself, Mike, you know, as we've touched on, founding father there at the Chicago CSC, you know, you've your own interest and journey into Celtic, but just how important are Celtic to you now? And generally speaking, what does being a supporter mean to you?
Well, being a supporter to me is the sense of community that Celtic, you know, brings. You know, there's the small local community. There's a larger community in North America. There's a larger community all through the world with the diaspora of Celtic supporters. And then, you know, when I've been at Celtic, you know, I've always found, you know, people interested. You know, everybody seems to be interested in you know, everyone's path to Celtic. You know, many people have, you know, have grown up with Celtic multiple generations in their family. But there's, you know, I've never been made to feel that my being a Celtic supporter is inferior to their Celtic experiences. You know, I just think it's a welcoming, inclusive community, you know, Catholic in the lower C sense of all encompassing and all, you know, welcome to all.
Yeah. We chatted briefly, Mike, before, you know, going live here with the recording. And a question that I'll be asking the various CSCs is, you know, are non-members welcome? You know, if anyone wanted to find you guys and come and join you for a game or even not a game, you know, is there a welcome mat laid out for anyone that wants to come join you?
Yeah, we are welcome. You know, we are a welcoming community. You know, we would never, you know, there are matches because of licensing hours and other things that are going in a pub that we are 21 and over for some matches, but very few matches. You know, we're, you know, we certainly welcome, you know, we've had, you know, very, very young children in. We've had, you know, families with children come in. You know, I would say that we aim to be welcoming. We're an inclusive club rather than an exclusive club.
Yeah. And that's at AJ Hudson's, and that is a central venue in the city?
Well, we're located, you know, in Chicago. You know, it's roughly half a mile from Wrigley Field. It's, you know, fairly easy to get to on public transportation. You know, we get people that are staying in the city that come to us, you know, people that, you know, it's relatively easy as far as Chicago traffic can be. It's fairly centrally located for anyone, you know, even at 6 a.m. people are able to find us.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's not too much traffic at that time in the morning. Paul, just in terms of maybe the social media side as much as anything, where can folks maybe get in touch if they want to drop you a note, maybe they're planning a visit to Chicago or anything like that? Is there a place you can direct them to?
Yeah, so the Celtics, the CSC account is at Chicago, yeah, Chicago Celtic SC.
Chicago Celtic SC. Yeah. Is Twitter, or X as it's now known, is that your kind of main place for?
Yeah, yeah, that's where we get most of our stuff. We do have an Instagram account as well. This is just the same. And then if you need me, I'm at CTPaul90. If you just want to get involved in like football around the city or charity around the city, like I'm usually trying to plan something or I'm aware of stuff going on.
Great stuff. And I'll share these links in the show notes for anyone that looks to get in touch with you guys. Paul, I'll stay with you now just for your own final comments. As I say, a big thank you to yourself and Mike, first of all, for joining me for the first of these recordings, but your own just general comments, whatever that may be, you know, being part of the club, you know, being part of the bigger club of Celtic in general.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know the guys and Mike, and traveling to, like, only been to Vegas with the guys a couple of years ago, but then just meeting everyone, the large community, is an absolute pleasure. Makes you proud to be a Celtic fan. And then on top of that, like, just the charity side of things is huge for us, especially in the sports in Chicago. I'll say soccer season because it's Chicago. Like Mike spoke about refugees getting planted, dumped in Chicago. Something me and my friends done about a year ago called Red Line Supporters Group. We go to all the Chicago Fire games and all Chicago soccer teams. We done a big fundraiser to buy AstroTurf boots for all the Venezuelan refugees that were getting brought up. And then we put on weekly pick-up five-a-side games at a local park. And we brought them along, gave them their boots. They all got to play, and then Chicago Fire came along and gave them tickets to the next home game and stuff like that. And we're just trying to get more stuff like that going on. And through Celtic, I think that's very easy and to do that, because everybody here is aware of Celtic's charitable causes and they're always wanting to work with us.
Yeah, and it's really good to hear that, you know, you're doing what sounds like a lot of really good charitable stuff there, Paul, in Celtic's name, but obviously, you know, all the way across the water there in Chicago. So great to hear that. Mike, your own final comments, as we've touched on, founding father, long-time Celtic fan now, maybe one of the more experienced members of the group, is it fair to say? But any final comments from yourself, Mike?
I mean, it's been work. It's been, it's a labor of love, but it's good. You know, I don't think that, you know, if you ask the members that are still around that started this club 30 years ago, I don't think we'd have any idea what it would be like now. You know, I think that, you know, we're looking, you know, at the short term, but, you know, here we are, relatively speaking, you know, we're an institution, and what you want to leave it, you know, you want to leave the world a better place than when you found it. You want to leave the Celtic supporters, you know, the Celtic community in Chicago a better place than when we found it 30 years ago. And then I feel, you know, one of the great things about the last several years is getting, you know, the club getting reinvigorated by people like Paul, people like Alan that are coming in that have, you know, realized that they can offer things to the club that we didn't have that would help us continue to, you know, to thrive and grow in the, for the next 30 years. You know, the work we're doing now will put us in a good place for somebody to come back, you know, in 2056 and do something on the, you know, the 60th anniversary of the Chicago CSC. You know, Paul will be around for that. I don't expect to be around for that, but we'll look to, look for that to continue.
Yeah. No, it's great to see, as I say, you know, whether it's the charity side of things or even just being a welcoming place for people across the globe to come and watch football. It sounds like you guys are doing some great things. I suppose, you know, just as we start to wrap things up, I'd like to wish you all the best for your 30th next year and beyond. You never know, at some point I may end up there. I hope I do. And I'll be sure to look you guys up. But in the meantime, all that's left for me to say is a massive thanks to Mike and Paul for joining me on the Celtic Exchange today and for being amongst the first to share their CSE story with us. If you want us to feature your own CSE in a future episode, then just get in touch on our social media or via the website at thecelticexchange.com. Remember that CSE Stories is brought to you in partnership with Football Without Fans, the definitive guide to Celtic supporters clubs around the globe. And you can pick up a copy of that on Amazon and various other places right now. And again, we'll link to that in the show notes for this episode. But in the meantime, thanks again to Mike and Paul. And finally, thanks to you for tuning in. We'll be back again soon with more CSE stories.
Podcast Network.